the life of King David and the life of King Samuel before him is intertwined in the book of 1 Samuel. And we've come to the place of where David's line crosses Saul's, and then they're going to run together for many years, actually. And we're going to look at some of those stories over the next 6 weeks. Last Sunday, we described the downfall of King Saul, a little bit of the downfall, the beginning of the downfall of King Saul, and how his pride and disobedience set him on a path toward total destruction. And it isn't like Saul crashed and then his life was over. Saul crashed and then he just continued to live in the crash and continued to walk away from God in many ways, and his pride and his arrogance and his inability to step back and truly confess his sins and find the forgiveness of God is quite an example to us this morning. I called it a downward spiral, and we're going to read in a few minutes of another piece of the downward spiral of Saul's life. And then also in our text today, as we're going through the chapters of 1 Samuel and the stories that are there, and then how David's storyline comes into the line of King Saul. And David, last week we read of how God chose him and anointed him. The prophet Samuel went, and despite the other brothers that seemed more capable and would have probably to us and to others who observed them, David would have been the least likely to be chosen, but yet God knew and God saw something within David. And so this unlikely choice became the one that God had anointed to be king. God saw something in his heart, something in his character, something in his potential that maybe no one else could see, but God knew and God understood. And God said to the prophet Samuel, "Rise, anoint him, he is the one." And so now David's life and David's story is going to run along Saul's and through many experiences together. I want to pick up the story this morning in chapter 16 of 1 Samuel. And if you want to follow along, I'm going to read beginning at verse 14 through 23. And starting in at verse 14, 1 Samuel chapter 16. Now the Spirit of the Lord had departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord tormented him. Saul's attendant said to him, "See, an evil spirit from God is tormenting you. Let our Lord command his servants here to search for someone who can play the harp. He will play when the evil spirit from God comes upon you, and you will feel better." So Saul said to his attendants, "Find someone who plays well and bring him to me." One of the servants answered, I have seen a son of Jesse of Bethlehem who knows how to play the harp. He is a brave man and a warrior. He speaks well and is fine looking, and the Lord is with him." Then Saul sent messengers to Jesse and said, "Send me your son David, who is with the sheep." So Jesse took a donkey loaded with bread, a skin of wine, and a young goat, and sent them with his son to David, to Saul. David came to Saul and entered his service. Saul liked him very much, and David became one of his armor bearers. Then Saul sent word to Jesse, saying, "Allow David to remain in my service, for I am pleased with him." Whenever the Spirit from God came upon Saul, David would take his harp and play. Then relief would come to Saul. He would feel better, and the evil spirit would leave him. I believe that verse 14 is telling of the direction of Saul's life. It's also, to me, a very heavy verse. It's a verse that I've read several times in my life and several times as a pastor as I've preached through stories of 1 Samuel. And it's a verse that, at least for me, challenges what I understand. And it really is a heavy picture of a reality of spiritual warfare. Verse 14 says, "Now the Spirit of the Lord had departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord tormented him." It brings up in my heart and my mind some pretty heavy questions about spiritual things. Is this a one-time story of someone that God gave us the whole picture of? Or are there things from this verse and Saul's life that are instructive and God would speak to us about? It certainly brings up questions about God, about choices, and about Saul's attitude and Saul's spirit and the hardening of Saul's heart. Now the Spirit of the Lord had departed from Saul. Two words I believe help us to understand what happened to Saul. The Spirit of the Lord had come on Saul when he was anointed. Somehow the Holy Spirit came and entered into Saul's heart and life, and God had promised that the Holy Spirit would guide Saul and help him as long as he followed him as king of Israel. That's what God's promise to Saul was. I will give you my spirit. And God did give Saul his spirit. And I believe when I look at that word, the Spirit of God, I believe that as we think about the Old Testament manifestation of the Holy Spirit, this is the Holy Spirit of God, the Trinity, one of a person of the Godhead. And God had given to Saul his very spirit in order to guide him and help him. But even as God had given to Saul his Holy Spirit, that didn't mean that God took away from Saul his ability to choose right and wrong. God does not take from us the ability to choose right from wrong. We have a free will. Even King Saul, even this man that God had chosen and God had given the Holy Spirit to, Saul still had an opportunity to choose whether he was going to obey God or disobey God. And we know from what we've read in Saul's life that very early after he became king of Israel, he began to make decisions that said, I do not need to do completely and exactly what God says. I will do what I want to do. I will do partially what God says. And we know that God was very offended by that. And he sent his prophet Samuel to warn him and say, Saul, you have not obeyed what I told you to do. And Saul began to make excuses. Couple of times God sent the prophet to warn him, and every time he did, Saul made an excuse. Well, it was because of this, it was because of that. And Saul is a great example of someone who had an opportunity to change his heart and change his mind, but he repeatedly refused to do that. And somewhere along the way, Saul stepped over a line, and God said, you will no longer be king, your kingdom will be taken from you. And in this verse we read, the Spirit of the Lord had departed from Saul. What a sad thing to think about. The Holy Spirit had withdrawn from Saul. We understand the Holy Spirit in the New Testament, that God promises to the believer that when we accept the Lord Jesus Christ, that he sends the Holy Spirit to be a part of our lives. We also know from the New Testament that we can listen to the Holy Spirit or we can reject the Holy Spirit. The Bible talks about walking in step in the Spirit. It talks about rejecting the Holy Spirit. It talks about grieving the Holy Spirit. Different translation has different words. But the truth is, God promises us the Holy Spirit. But he also gives us a free will and an opportunity to choose whether or not we live every day in harmony with the Holy Spirit, or we have an attitude in our heart that says, we don't need you. We're not going to listen to you. Saul got what he thought he wanted. Saul thought that he got exactly what he wanted. He wanted to be in charge. And pretty much Saul said to the Spirit of God, I don't want you. I don't need you. Later on, he would be very sorry for the decisions that he made. But his life and his decisions caused God to withdraw the Holy Spirit. And then when God withdrew the Holy Spirit from Saul, just imagine to have God's Spirit and God's guidance and God speaking to you and God leading you and telling you what to do and warning you, and all of a sudden that's withdrawn. And so there's this vacuum within Saul, and he's empty. He no longer has God's Spirit to speak to him, to speak to his conscience, to speak to his decisions. And so left without the Spirit of God, Saul continues this downward spiral. It also left him open to the attacks of the evil spirits. Again, the presence of the evil spirits or the demons that are described here, it's hard to understand everything about that and what they mean, but this story enforces and reinforces to us that there is the existence of evil spirits. There are demons that exist in our world today. We may not understand exactly how they operate and how they are sent and how they're moved, but the first reality about this story and about Saul is that the presence or the existence of evil spirits. Evil spirits are real. They existed in the Old Testament. We're told a little bit about them throughout the Bible and how they wreak havoc. We're also told about spiritual warfare. that there is this unseen world going on around us of spiritual warfare between the forces of God and the forces of evil. Somehow we know that evil spirits exist, and we also know that evil spirits, they're described here, and that these evil spirits often come and bother people and tempt people. I don't believe that Satan or any demon can force you to do anything that you do not choose to do. The same way that we think about the choice of good and evil, God does not force you to do evil. Neither does Satan force you to do evil. God always gives us a choice of doing right and wrong, but there are spirits out there that encourage us and draw us to God. There are angels. There's the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, but also on the other side, there is a destructive enemy. The Bible describes him as a roaring lion who is out to devour and destroy and to kill. And we live in that reality of that spiritual warfare. Evil spirits exist. They are real. They are real in the Old Testament and the New Testament, and they're real today. Especially when I've had the privilege to be on a couple of missions trips, I have seen and sensed things that I did not understand, but I could sense so strongly the spiritual warfare that was going on in the lives of some people. We may not know everything about them, but we are living in a day of evil. We're living in a day where Satan is trying to destroy us. Evil spirits are real. We may not see them and understand them, but we know that they influence the world around us. We also see in this story that they are subject to God's direction. And somehow God has allowed a certain amount of control to Satan and the evil spirits, but they're not outside of God's control. They're not outside of God's power to withdraw them or move them, and they are within God's control. We see that in this story. We also see that God has allowed Satan to use them, and we know that there are times and places that Satan uses evil spirits to tempt people in order to plant things in their mind, and we certainly see evil around the world, and we don't have much of an explanation for them other than evil exists and destroys and tries to destroy people. In this story, we do know some things. We know that the spirit was a result of Saul's sin. We know that when God withdrew his Holy Spirit and he allowed the evil spirit to come to Saul, number one, we know that God allowed that. Whether God directed that, and one translation seems to say that, or God opened the gate and said, okay, Saul, I'm withdrawing my spirit, and so you're going to live in the world that exists of sin, and you're going to be tempted, and the evil spirit's going to come. I mean, this story is unique, and it's scary, and it's painful, and we think about what it means and the depth of it, but the reality is, when you withdraw from God, God tries to draw you back. But there are things that you can decide and choose with your free will that tell God you do not want His Holy Spirit to guide you in your life. And when you do that, and if you do that, and whoever does that is in danger of then being flooded in by all the evil and by the spirits that we may not see and we may not understand. If nothing else, there's a lot about this story I don't understand, but I do know that when we decide that we want to be in charge, we are opening ourselves up to the spirits that can come and draw us away from God. There were consequences to Saul's behavior. There were consequences to Saul being stubborn. There are consequences to Saul refusing to say, I'm wrong. I mean, Saul never says, I'm wrong here. And the refusal to do that opened him up to the consequences of the evil spirits that came to his place. And I think of this downward spiral of Saul and how he paid such a terrible price for that. He paid a terrible price for his pride. Saul hardened his heart and he fell further and further away from God. And at the same time that the Holy Spirit is withdrawn and the spirits come in, Saul falls further and further from being connected to the God who called him to be the king, the first king of Israel. And so you have Saul in this spirit world, painful world of losing the Spirit of God. And then you have God saying it's time to move on to a new leader. And so David emerges. And last week we read about this young shepherd boy and how God seemed to see something in him that would cause him to be the king of Israel and to become the king of Israel that every king for the history of Israel would be measured by. Here's this little shepherd boy, and God saw in him something that he knew that that all of the future of the Jewish people, all the future of the Bible, will measure every king by this man named David. He starts out as a shepherd boy. He was the youngest of the sons of Jesse. The other brothers seemed to be bigger and taller and stronger and whatever. They seemed to have all the qualities. But you know, that's what Saul had too. Saul had all the outward qualities. And when everybody looked at Saul, they thought, oh boy, he's going to be a great king. And he had the outward qualities. You might say David in the beginning was young and small. He didn't have all those qualities. He had good qualities that are emerged. And those qualities begin to be described as we continue on in the book of 1 Samuel. But we're told, for example, in this story that David was a brave man. He was a brave boy, a brave man. We read later on of his bravery when he goes and he says to Saul, Saul, I'll go out and fight the Goliath. I have God with me. And then he says, I'm not afraid of him. God help me when I face the lion and the bear. And you just see in this boy a bravery, a strength, a courage that perhaps was so far beyond his age and so far beyond his physical abilities. David had this incredible faith in God and belief in God. You might call it a simplistic faith. I mean, when he went to fight Goliath, he just went and said, Saul, God's on our side. He'll protect me. I can kill Goliath. That's no big deal. I mean, just imagine all of them that laughed at this little boy, David. But he showed his bravery, showed his courage. Later, he's described as a warrior. He certainly would prove that throughout his life when he would go up against forces much bigger than his, and pretty much all he would have is a few soldiers and a sword and his faith in God, and God would honor that. God honors faith, and David is a man of incredible faith. We're told that he speaks well. He's mature. He's discerning. There's something about David, even in his youth, that comes out and is seen, and people around him recognize. He's described as fine-looking. And it was one of the servants of Saul that recommended David to Saul. Think, well, how did David and Saul actually come together? What was the first meeting? Well, this is the story. Saul is troubled by this evil spirit. And I just imagine that he's violent. We see that he's out of balance. Melancholy, depressed, paranoid, and the servants around him don't know what to do. I mean, they are not going to strike the anointed of the Lord or take him out, and they don't know what to do for the king, but the king's life is falling apart and it's getting worse and worse. And so they, when he gets into these rages or into these fits, they don't know what to do to help to bring him out, and they believe that music might do that. And so they think, well, if we could find somebody that can play a certain music that would calm the king down. And I don't know what's all behind this story, but one of the servants says to the king, King Saul, I know someone like that. I know this shepherd boy. We've heard about him, or we've seen him. And he's practiced all his life out in the fields, taking care of his animals and playing his harp. And maybe if he played his harp for the king, it would calm him down. And so they recommend David, and he's summoned. And his father Jesse, he finds out that they've called for his son Jesse, that one that had been anointed some, I don't know how long, months, maybe years. I don't know how long. There's no time reference here of how long it was between David was anointed and when he went to the service of King Saul. But he was sent for, and Jesse had to know this was a big event. I mean, Jesse knew about the anointing. He also knew that King Saul would be very angry and jealous if he found out that Samuel had actually anointed someone else to be king. I mean, Saul would want to take him out in his rage and in his jealousy. And he did try to take David out later on, but his father knew that he had to respond to what the king asked of him. And so he sends his son David, and he sends gifts to the king. And so that's how David gets to King Saul. And sure enough, he takes his harp. And when King Saul went into that first time of rage and anger and trouble, David began to play the harp. And somehow this harp and the music calms Saul down. maybe by the hand of God, maybe through the natural use of music, and but whatever, it does seem to, for now, calm down the spirit of Saul, and the evil spirit leaves him. Certainly recognizing that God's hand is on David, and God is leading him, and God uses David to minister to Saul. Saul was comforted. Saul was quieted by David's playing. Saul is pleased by that. We're told that Saul, it really is good for Saul, and Saul somehow calms down. Maybe he senses the Spirit of God in David, and he senses that David has something that he has lost, and he wants to get it back. And so when he gets upset and troubled and David plays, it's like that spirit that's within David begins to minister to Saul as well, and he's pleased with David. David is a faithful servant, and he's described all throughout David's life as a faithful servant to Saul until Saul is gone. I mean, Saul tries to kill him. Saul's chasing him. Saul is doing everything he can to literally destroy David, and David just continues to serve from his heart. David shows such character in that. You know, when you're under attack, sometimes it's hard not to react. It's hard not to take up the things that would that God would not have us to do, and David showed that in his life. Boy, when he was under attack by Saul, he continued to believe in the authority of God. He continued to believe that he needed to listen to and follow and honor God, and David shows that character. David shows us character throughout the chapters of Samuel, 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel. We also read where David failed and his character failed. He wasn't perfect. He was far from perfect. He did wrong at times. But something about David is he always had a heart that came back to God. He came back and he confessed. He repented. He said, God, I was wrong. I'm sorry. David had a whole different heart about what he had done that Saul did. And that's what sets these two men apart, I think, the very most. David served Samuel faithfully, and Samuel was pleased with him. David came to Saul and entered his service. Verse 21 says, Saul liked him very much, and David became one of his armor bearers. So there's another little picture about David. David was very capable at whatever he did. And so not only did he play the music when the king was troubled, but he was in that inner circle of armor bearers and those that would prepare the for when the army went out and when the leader went out and would carry the armor and always be with the king. And so David was with King Saul a lot, and Saul was pleased with him. Saul was thankful for him. It says in verse 22, then Saul sent word to Jesse saying, allow David to remain in my service, for I am pleased with him. At this point, Saul is not jealous of David. Saul does not see him as a threat in any way, but someone who helps to bring him back to some peace in the troubling of his spirit that takes place. And so Saul and David become interconnected. Their lives become intertwined. And just about, not everyone, but most of the stories throughout the rest of Saul's life is somehow connected between David and Saul, and somehow we see the character of David and then we see the character of Saul until the day that Saul dies. But their lives are interconnected. They're connected by being anointed of God. They were connected by being called of God to lead the people, and then they're connected by a harp. They're connected by this music, and then they're connected by being an armor bearer. And on we read of these connections between David and Saul. Later, when David leads the army into battle, we hear the affirmation of King Saul. Oh, I love that David, and he's doing a great job, and he promotes him, and he's doing such a great job, and he kills Goliath then, and Saul is so happy with that. And then he's a leader in the army, but then that spirit within Saul that's troubled begins to emerge again of jealousy, and he sees the hand of God. He sees that God has chosen David to take his place, and then that downward spiral goes deeper and deeper down, and the hostility and the anger and the threats and all the things that take the end of Saul's life show us how far he's fallen away from God. Even they're connected also by Saul's children, by his son Jonathan and his daughter Michal and the marriage and stories connected to them. All along the way, David and Saul are connected. David is now taking a journey in chapter 16 into manhood, and he's got the character that God wants him to have. He has a heart that God will say of one day, he has a heart like me. He has a heart that follows me. And Saul, on the other hand, is just the opposite. Instead of a heart that follows God, Saul has a heart that follows his own desires and himself. So David's life goes one direction from this point on, and Saul's life goes another, but the stories are told together. Sometimes they are friends, sometimes they are enemy. But for his part, David is faithful. From the earliest days as a shepherd boy, we see faithfulness within David. Then we see his faithfulness as a servant of the king with a harp. And we see his faithfulness to face a mighty giant, Goliath. He is a faithful servant of the king. Time is moving forward. Our next story that we're going to look at this morning starts in the next verse. I mean, we go from this story of the faithfulness of David to Saul to the story of David and Goliath. I want to encourage you, if you have time and you want to read again the story of David and Goliath and let God speak to you. You know, every time I think about the story, of course, some people say it's one of the greatest stories in the Bible. It is. For a lot of children, they would name David and Goliath as maybe one of the most powerful things that speaks to them about the power of God and about what happens when a little person, a little David, a little shepherd boy says, I have faith in God and what God can do in that mighty and powerful faith. I want to encourage you to read and think about that story. Pastor Shane will be preaching next Sunday, and then the following Sunday I'm going to planning to preach from the story of David and Goliath, and want to invite you to prepare your heart and think about that story and ask God to speak to you from this great book and this great intersection between David and Saul's life and this story of David and Goliath. Would you stand together? Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the ongoing journey that we read about between Saul and David. Lord, I know there's many things in the story that every time I read it, it just seems like there's something else that speaks to me about character, speaks to me about faith, speaks to me about how, Lord, we react and respond to life and life's challenges. And Lord God, I pray that you would teach us. I pray that we would have a teachable spirit, a teachable heart from these stories and these characters. I pray, God, that you would help our faith to be stronger. I pray, God, that you would help us to call out to you and know, God, that you can help us and you can guide us and that we will sense your spirit every day and every part of our lives, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you so much for being here today. God bless.